The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the third edition of Gold Dome Scramble, a pop-up podcast from Political Breakfast. We are here every week for the duration of Georgia's 40-day legislative session to bring you some highlights and insights. I'm Lisa Ram, and with me today are WABE political reporter Emma Hurt and political reporter Emil Moffitt. Welcome, both of you.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Glad to be here.
Well, Emma, let's start with you. What's ahead this week?
So we've made it through a week of budget hearings, and now we get back to legislating, I suppose you could say. Committees are meeting. The chambers will be convening every day, and bills will start to make their way through. But also, speaking of the budget, appropriations subcommittees will start to meet, and we've already got a slew of them on the schedule. And I mean, this is really where the rubber meets the road. This past week, we heard from state agency heads about what the budget cuts that the governor has mandated will mean for them. And now we have the subcommittee work where we'll really get in the weeds of each of those cuts, and lawmakers might try to change things, make their stamp on the budget.
So you were saying the appropriations subcommittees will be hard at work this week. And Emil, that's when a lot of lobbyists come into play, correct?
That's right. It'll be interesting to watch in these committees with the lobbyists with stakes in the bill. Some may actually get to testify to make their point. And it's really in the committees that these bills take shape. And they may look a lot different once they're voted out from what they were in the beginning when they were introduced. And of course, any bill that would result in more state funding will probably get the hottest debate this year because of the tight state budget.
Yes, talking about that tight state budget, last week lawmakers got an earful from department heads, the governor, and the state economist. What was the big takeaway, Emil?
Yeah, the budget has to balance. So that's in the Constitution. The governor has prioritized a $2,000 pay raise for teachers, a $1,000 raise for state employees who make less than $40,000. But since those revenues have come up short, that money has to come from somewhere. And we heard about it firsthand last week. Agencies cutting hundreds of vacant positions, some cases laying people off, furlough days in the Public Defender Program and at the Public Service Commission as well. And then there's some efficiency cuts, things like office expenses, printing, cutting travel expenses, marketing. It was really a somber picture at times. Some agencies didn't seem too worried, but others really did. We heard things like, these are painful cuts and our budget is down to the bone from agencies. A lot of people saying, they've already cut enough that they're really bare bones. We see things like the Department of Behavioral Health, Developmental Disabilities, Public Service Commission that are really smarting from these cuts.
So it's clear. We know the budget is short and cuts have to be made. But Emma, any word on why the budget is so short?
Yeah, so I mean, we've heard revenues are short, right? But lots of lawmakers are still wondering, how can this be? Our economy is doing so well, record employment. How can this be? The reason, we got a breakdown from the state's economist last week. He's saying, look, about 80% of the budget are things that are basically on autopilot, things that the state doesn't control, like Medicaid, like public schools, things that are enrollment driven. And those costs are going up faster than how much revenue we're bringing in. It's partially because the state is growing in people, but it's also these services are getting more expensive. In education, for example, more students are being enrolled in more expensive programming, like the Gifted and Talented program. Not bad things, but cost more money. One of the reasons for the revenue shortfall, why the revenue is growing slower, is because of that state income tax rate cut that we've talked about that lawmakers instituted in 2018. This is Jeffrey Dorfman, the state's fiscal economist, talking about this here.
So in order to have the budget match revenue growth, if some things grow faster than the average, other things need to grow slower or be cut. That's just how math works.
I mean, really, it just comes down to math. It's kind of the theme word right now for the session. We're like, things are going up, other things are going down. We have to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. And as we know, everybody loves math.
Oh, boy. And it's giving everybody a headache right now, I think. So then, with that said, do you have any sense of what the economist thinks about cutting taxes again at this point?
So, I mean, I asked him point blank, and he said, look, I only give the governor my policy recommendations. But in the hearings, he outlined to lawmakers that basically we need more revenue, right, to cover our growing expenses. We can't really grow anymore internally because our employment rate is already so low. We're sort of, he said, at the baseline of really what is possible in economics. So the only way we can grow is to steal revenue. Basically, the only way you can do that is stealing growth, stealing companies and people from other states. And he basically says, I don't really think the way you do that is by just lowering the state income tax rate a little bit. There are other ways. And this is what he said about it.
I don't believe the way you get companies to move to Georgia is by lowering the income tax rate. The reality is that once we add our federal and state income tax rates together, 0.25% one way or the other on the state income tax rate just doesn't move the bar. I think thinking about smart ways to attract businesses, like keeping our rating as the number one state to do business, removing needless regulations, speeding up the permitting process, these are the things that we need to do.
So we'll have to wait and see at this point if there is support for another tax cut. I think this is the perfect time to take a break. You're listening to the Gold Dome Scramble with Emma Hurd and Emil Moffitt. I'm Lisa Ram. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
Welcome back to Gold Dome Scramble. We're going to take another look at the budget. We know teachers are in for another pay raise, but there was heated debate last week over reducing or trimming down the school turnaround office that was championed by Governor Deal. Emil, you were at those hearings, and what kind of feeling did you walk away with?
It was quite contentious. Teacher raises are part of the budget, and QBE, Quality Basic Education, will be fully funded. We know that, but there are some cuts to the Department of Education. Governor Kemp has proposed cutting 5 vacant positions and reducing travel allowances for the chief turnaround officer staff. And this really drew the ire of some lawmakers who say teacher raises are great, fully funding QBE is great, but the turnaround office is charged with helping the worst performing schools in the state. Columbus Democrat Carolyn Hughley asked the state superintendent if this was going to make that problem worse.
Representative Hughley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Mr. Superintendent, is that a long way of telling us we went through all that business about the turnaround officer and we're back where we started with the school improvement office that we already had? Is that what you're telling us?
No, ma'am. Again, I think, you know, the legislation and the thing had a great purpose. I'm not knocking and saying this. I'm just trying to reassure everyone in the state that with the transition and the things that have expired over the past few days, that our schools and our students who fall underneath the area of being served underneath the chief turnaround officer, that nothing will be interrupted, that our focus is on making sure that we will serve those students, we will serve those schools with the highest integrity involved, and that we will see gains throughout the state. And again, it's just more of saying that, you know, I want to reassure everyone that, you know, have looked, because I not going back in history, but saying that from this point and where I know we are today, that we're going to do the job, and our focus is definitely just on our kids and doing the right thing.
One other question, Mr. Chairman. It's a statement, really. our students in our schools deserve strong, consistent leadership, as opposed to us changing our minds every 2 or 3 years about the direction. And we have children out there that are struggling, and they really need our help, and the adults need to get our acts together in terms of what is our real vision and where we're trying to go.
And to compound this, the chief turnaround officer himself, Eric Thomas, resigned a couple of weeks ago amid an investigation into employee complaints against him. We don't have the details on those complaints, but it is a change in leadership at a very fraught time in that office.
With all these various cuts on the horizons within the various departments, Emma, is there a takeaway as to what Georgians would notice the most?
So there are little things like DDS has decided they're not going to print and mail out cards reminding you to renew your driver's license anymore. You're just going to get an email. They're also not going to print out driver's ed manuals. They'll only be online now. But then there are other things that you might not notice so starkly, but might have delayed consequences. I mean, the Department of Economic Development, for example, is cutting back on marketing expenses. And this comes just as the department's heralded the billions tourism has brought into the state recently. And lawmakers asked fair questions about how lowering marketing dollars will affect that growth in the future. Other cuts close to consumers are in the ag department, for example. The state's industrial hemp program won't get federal approval unless it can secure $1 million, according to Gary Black. And right now they don't have that. And he was pretty clear about how cutting 25 vacant jobs and laying off 6 people will translate in terms of inspections, food safety, meat, all that. Here's what he said.
Over the next 18 months, there will be fewer food safety inspections, fewer animal industry inspections, and the growing demand for meat inspection will have to be shifted to our federal partners.
And I think it's worth noting that Commissioner Gary Black is independently elected. He's not appointed by the governor, and so he can speak a little bit more frankly about these cuts than some of these other agency heads.
Food inspection is a very important part of the Ag Department, and we all want our food inspected, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, some listeners may remember the peanut plant contamination traced to a company's plant in southwest Georgia. The outbreak in 2008-2009, blamed for 9 deaths and made hundreds of more people sick, triggered one of the largest food recalls in U.S. history. So, yeah, you're right. It's very important to have those food inspectors on the job.
Yeah, I imagine that's going to spark a lot of concern. Lawmakers heard from the heads of Georgia's various health agencies, and some of them were very frank about what budget cuts would mean for them. Our health reporter, Sam Whitehead, was there for the hearings, and he joins us now for more. Sam, thanks so much for stopping by.
Sure. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Sam. So one agency head, it seems, was very candid about the impacts of these cuts, calling them very painful. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So that was Commissioner Judy Fitzgerald. She heads the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities, also called DBHDD, because that's kind of a mouthful. And this agency serves folks with mental illness, people who might have substance abuse disorder, and those with certain kinds of disabilities, some 200,000 people in the state. And what she had to say about these budget cuts was pretty straightforward, and I think we have that tape.
Because of the unique characteristics of DBHDD, our dependence on state funds, the wide swath of people that we serve, it was not possible for us to take the cuts without a reduction of services to individuals in the state.
And compare what Fitzgerald said there to other agency heads, many of whom tried to paint kind of a rosy picture of what these cuts would mean. Fitzgerald said the safety net that provides services for some of the most vulnerable Georgians is already stretched thin. These cuts, she says, will stretch it even more.
Well, Sam, looking over their budget proposal, it looks like DBHDD will cut more than $80 million from their budget. What services will that impact? I imagine a lot.
Yeah, that is what it seems like. This is going to impact things like care for youth and adolescents that are experiencing mental health crises, or maybe even addiction treatment, or addiction treatment for adults. And of course, budgeting is all about priorities, right? So Fitzgerald said her priority was protecting services for people who are already being helped by her agency. Another priority is funding for care for people who are having psychiatric crises, the need for which, Fitzgerald said, has only grown in recent years.
So I imagine others are being left by the wayside, right?
That seems to potentially be the case. If you're someone who's not already getting mental health treatment or support, say, for a developmental disability from the state, it looks like it'll be harder now to get that help. And that raised the concern of state lawmakers, one of whom called these cuts, quote, life-robbing.
Ooh, that's chilling. Very striking language there.
It is. And another lawmaker suggested that the cuts were simply not going to work. That was Representative Darlene Taylor. She represents a rural district in South Georgia.
See, I cannot see how it's going to work. And spoonful of sugar is not going to make this go down. We have so many needs that are unmet now, particularly in rural communities. We need to go back and look at this because this is just not going to work.
Of course, a spokesman for Governor Kemp told a number of media outlets that they disagree with the picture that Fitzgerald painted here, that services won't be significantly disrupted, but it seems at least a few lawmakers are skeptical of that.
Well, the health discussion will certainly continue, not going away. Sam, thanks for stopping by, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again on The Scramble.
Hope so. Thank you all.
We've talked budget cuts, health care, health issues. Let's talk about some of the interesting bills that are lurking out there. What are some of the most interesting bills both of you have seen or heard about thus far?
Always a fun question. They can definitely range the gamut. One thing that I find interesting is a bill that is trying to remove the ability for suspended constitutional officers to get their salaries. And there's no Jim Beck in the name of this bill, but it is definitely about Jim Beck, who is our indicted insurance commissioner who is suspended for embezzling millions of dollars. He's still receiving his state salary, even though he's been replaced by John King.
That's astonishing that he's still being paid.
Yeah, I suppose innocent until proven guilty. But the point is, look, he's been suspended. He's not doing the job anymore. Do we need to keep paying him?
Why is he collecting a check? Right. Emil, what about you? What have you heard out
there? Well, speaking of pay, similar to a couple other states, a bill has been introduced that would allow college athletes to make money when their name or likeness is used to market those college sports. The lead sponsor of the bill says that it would help college athletes. You know, they can't earn spending money. Like their classmates who don't play sports, they might have a part-time job. Athletes can't do that. He also says the bill might be moot, depending on changes the NCAA recently announced it was looking into making.
So this is kind of patterned after the California law.
It's very similar, and a number of states have taken action as well.
One bill I find very interesting deals with divorce and what happens to the pets. One lawmaker is very passionate about this and what happens to them in the midst of a divorce. He thinks there should be an official custody order in place. So we'll see where this goes. Well, thank you guys for stopping by again. That's all for now for this edition of Gold Dome Scramble. Emma and Emil, it was great to check in with you guys.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
And don't forget, a new edition of the Political Breakfast Podcast, Our Mothership, comes your way every Friday. I'm Lisa Ram. We'll be back next Monday.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause. And rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.